I hope that you have already experienced God's grace and the Spirit that has been moving among us this morning, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity to come and to share a bit with you about the Bible and what the Bible has to say to us today. And so I hope that perhaps in the midst of everything else, you've given some thought to the question you would like to ask Jesus. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or get you to confess what you wanted to ask. Instead, I want us to look at what one disciple chooses to ask his question of Jesus. And it comes from the 11th chapter of Luke's gospel. If you've been with us this month, we have been working through Luke chapter 10, and we're finally done with chapter 10. There's no test on it, but I hope that you enjoy chapter 10. And so there's been a lot going on. There has been a commissioning where Jesus has sent out 70 disciples to go and to share the good news. Then there was a confrontation between a scribe, a learned religious person like me, you know, who went to school for this, and he confronted Jesus with a question. And Jesus' response was to call us to love. Then the week after that, Jesus takes a little break and goes to some friend's house, the house of Mary and Martha. And Martha, again, like me, is always busy. And in the midst of her busyness, misses Jesus in her midst. All of that has happened, and finally Jesus, having been very busy, has stopped. And he's having a few moments by himself praying. And one of the disciples, unnamed, perhaps because he wanted his name stricken from the record, interrupts Jesus in the midst of his prayer and says this. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "Well, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." I want to stop there in the lesson for a few moments, because this question may not have been the one that you would think would be most pressing. Can you teach us how to pray? I mean, out of all the things that we could ask Jesus, out of all the things the disciples have seen Jesus done and do, to think that he would stop and say, "Could you teach us to pray?" But there are two very important reasons why this is a very important question. The first is, in this day and age, rabbis all around Israel are becoming more and more popular. Worship in the temple, Israel worshiping and sacrificing in the temple, was not something that everyone could do every day. If you were wealthy enough to travel to Jerusalem, you might be able to do it once a year. But most Israelites, most Jewish people in Jesus' day, could not go to the temple to worship. And so synagogue worship, worship on Saturdays in gathering places around the country, were becoming more and more important and popular, and every synagogue had a rabbi. And what was interesting is the rabbis would help you figure out of all 600 plus laws, what are the most important ones you should really keep, right? And out of all the prayers you could pray, what's a prayer that I could teach you to pray every day? And so to follow a rabbi, you would want to know which commandments the rabbi thought were most important and to learn a set prayer the rabbi would teach you. In fact, there was a word for all of this. It was called the rabbi's yoke and the rabbi's burden. So to follow a particular rabbi was to take on their yoke and to accept their burden. So a rabbi might say, "Well, you got to keep the Ten Commandments, those are the big ones, and then here's 30 others, right? Do these and you'll get the gist. And here's a prayer, it takes 15 minutes for you to pray, but learn this prayer, say it every day, and you're good." Well, here comes Jesus. who says what? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You just have to do two commandments. Love God with everything, and love your neighbor as yourself. Get those two right, all the other commandments will fall in line. So a few verses later then, you see then this disciple say, but Jesus, you haven't taught us to pray yet. John taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us the prayer we need to. And so you can imagine Jesus saying, oh, okay, all right, I'm sorry, sure. Get out your pens and your paper. Ready? Your stone and your chisel. I don't know what they use. Right? So when you pray, pray like this. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Amen. Now, I like to think, it's not in the Bible, so don't worry about this part. But I kind of like to think that this ragtag group of disciples, fishermen and laborers and day workers and tax collector, they had grown up never imagining that they would be disciples of a famous rabbi. That was stuff that other people did, like Paul, right? They thought they'd grow up fishing and working for a living. But they had always seen those professional disciples from those famous rabbis learn all those great commandments and all those teachings and to be able to pray those long, impressive prayers. And then there's Jesus, who teaches them a prayer like this. And I imagine, maybe Peter, Peter reminds me a lot of my dad. Always says stuff before he thinks. And I imagine Peter, if he's like my dad, Peter said, but that's it? That's the prayer? That doesn't even take a minute. That's the prayer you want us to learn? And I like to think that Jesus just looks at him and says, yeah. That's it. Nothing more complicated. Nothing more important. Teach us to pray. I think Jesus really does want us to pray. And I think he would have gotten around to teaching them how to pray even if the disciple hadn't asked. I've been to a lot of churches in my life. I grew up in church, grew up going to a great church. I've been to a lot of sermons on prayer. I've been to conferences on prayer, how to pray for lots of different things. And all those are wonderful and beneficial. But I don't know if you've ever had this experience that at the end of one of those, I feel exhausted already. How do I remember all of that? How do I begin to even think to know what to pray for, how to pray? The pastor is really good at praying a really long, beautiful prayer and manages to quote Scripture. And have references both to the Old and the New Testament. It's amazing. I can't remember that much Bible. And so if you've ever had that experience, I want you to think about prayer in a completely different way. In my own life, I really had to give up praying in a certain way. And that was to try to impress God with my theological knowledge, trying to impress God with my memorization of Scripture. He wrote it. He knows it. I don't have to quote it back to him. I had to give up trying to convince God that I really didn't want the things that I was praying for, trying to psychologically confuse God. Oh, Lord, I know you don't want me to have a lot of money, but in case any just falls out, I wouldn't mind it, Oh, Lord, I know I need to pray for my enemies, and I'm praying for my enemy, and I'm really praying for him to go away or to fall down on something hard. But I'm praying for him, Or I would get to a situation in which I didn't want to bother God with my prayers, and I try to do everything on my own, and I found that I would miss out. And I got so wrapped up in my own prayer life that there was a time in which I just said, well, God, You know what you need to do, just do it. So if you ever felt like that, either you don't feel like you're theologically or scripturally educated enough, whatever that means, to pray, or if you're so twisted up in yourself to not even know if your prayer is going to work and maybe you're making it worse, wherever you are, I want to offer you to push all that to the side and simply invite you to do three things. I want you to start thinking each day, however long that you have, whatever time of day works best, to pray for three things. Pray for bread. Pray for forgiveness. And pray for deliverance. Bread, forgiveness, deliverance. Just three things. So when we pray for bread as people who have way more bread than we need, I think something really important happens. We realize because we have as much as we need in terms of food for the day, that when we're forced to stop and say, God, thank you for this bread you've provided, we realize how much of a gift it is. We realize that everything that we have in this life is a gift, and simply stopping each day to acknowledge it, to pray for it, to thank God for it, can begin to change our perspective on all the other things we think we need. Something else God does to me when I pray for daily bread, and this annoys me that God does this, but God has been doing it for a long time, is God reorders the priority of my own life when I look and realize that as I pray for daily bread and I know I'm going to get it, how many people today won't? How many people today will wake up not wondering when they're going to eat, but if? And I realize as my daily bread is given to me without so much of a thought, how much I take that for granted. And it begins to reorder my priorities, and it grounds my soul back in the fact that all of this is a gift, that I shouldn't take it for granted. And when I look around and see how much bread I actually have, God begins to whisper in my ear, to whom much bread is given, much bread is required. And I begin to look at the ways that perhaps God is calling me to use my blessings and the resources that God has given to me to help others find bread. Second, pray for forgiveness. Now, this is at some point easy and some point hard. And what I mean by this is I doubt there are many of us who believe that we're perfect. If you're out there, raise your hand. No? Okay, good, good. I'm glad all the perfect people are gone. So all of us in here, we'll admit that we make mistakes. And there are things that we do that we know that we shouldn't do. That's the easy part. In fact, finding forgiveness for the things that we know we shouldn't do, there's a theological term for that. It's called sins of commission. Sins of commission. Those things that we know we shouldn't do, yet we do them anyway, we know we're making a mistake, we actively know, and we're going to go ahead and say, look, I know I'm doing a problem, I'm going to ask God forgiveness later, right? Sins of commission. And they're easy to identify, usually the big Ten Commandments. If you're stealing from somebody, you know it's wrong, don't steal, right? You know, if you're lying about somebody, you know you shouldn't, you know. And so we know those things. There's a whole other big category that the theologians call sins of omission. Those things that we should do, but we don't. Those things that we know God wants us to do, but we either choose not to do them or we're so busy doing other things we neglect to do them, but they're still sins of omission. Now, what's hard about that is, how do you know whether it's on the list, something you should do but you don't do. And how fair is it that we would have to ask forgiveness for something I didn't do? So if you're wondering there, I'm not going to come up with the list for you. I'm going to go back to Jesus and suggest that he's given us one of those things of omission. And it's right there in the prayer when Jesus says, "Forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone." It's something about Jesus' reminder that one of our biggest sins of omission is failing to forgive others while wanting forgiveness for ourselves. And so if you pause every day to pray for your bread and to pray for forgiveness, perhaps what will happen in that moment of prayer is a reminder to Jesus, to whom much is forgiven, much forgiveness is required. Perhaps God will bring to your mind those people in your life that you need to forgive. Stuff you need to let go of. Situations that you keep replaying over and over in your mind and you can't move past it because you haven't said, "I forgive them." But if you pause every day and ask for forgiveness and offer forgiveness, then maybe your mind will be freed from all of that stuff that weighs you down. So, bread, forgiveness, and then what? What was the last one? Deliverance. Which is an odd word. We don't use that much anymore, do we? But the point of it is a reminder that there is so much in this world that will hurt us, so much in this world that will distract us, so much in this world that will weigh us down and get us off course, that if we're not aware that there are ways in which we can make mistakes and paths we can wander down that lead to dead ends, we miss the point that Jesus really wants us to avoid all of that. Jesus really does want us to understand that we don't have to live a life in which we continue to fall into the same traps. But I've found that so many of us want to pretend that we're strong enough to face anything. That we've got it together. We don't need anyone else's help. There's a good old-fashioned American pull yourself up by your own bootstraps mentality. And if as a Christian I admit that I don't have it all together, then perhaps I'm not as faithful as I'd like to believe I am. And so you face the day thinking, I'm not going to make any mistakes today. I'm going to be strong today. I'm not going to get into any problems. I'm not going to get into any fights. I'm not going to tell my coworker what I really think about them this time. I'm going to make it a good day today. And about 9:45, all of that's gone out the window. And you're in your cubicle just cussing at yourself. Is that, no? Just, okay. And you've already made a mistake. Perhaps it was because you were trying to do this day all by yourself. And you didn't pause in the beginning asking for bread, forgiveness, and for deliverance. Oh Lord, deliver me from things that will tempt me today. Deliver me from feeling anger or resentment. Deliver me from guilt or shame. Deliver me from those thoughts of wanting to get even with someone. Deliver me from the temptations that will really make a wreck of my life. Lord, I can't make this day work on my own. You have got to help me out, God. Deliver me. Lead me not into the bad places, but lead me into your kingdom. So just three things. Pray for bread. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for deliverance. And then Jesus is bold enough to say at the end, all the other things you really want to pray for, all the things you really think you need to focus on, all those other things, whatever they are for you, Jesus says, you know what? They'll be added onto you. The door will be opened. Seek me first, and all the other things will take care of themselves. Do you believe that? That's a big promise. But here's the thing. Jesus, in the very beginning of the prayer, says, make sure you first acknowledge your Father. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. When we pray for bread, when we pray for forgiveness, when we pray for deliverance, God works in our life to reorder our perspective and our priorities, reminds us of how much bread we already have, how much forgiveness we've already been given, invites us to forgive others with that same ferocity. He reminds us, I'll deliver you today because look at all the times I have delivered you in the past. You're still here. You're still alive. That's deliverance enough. And if you focus on those three things and you seek after those three things and you commit yourself to those three things, all the other things in this world that concern you and bother you and the deep desires of your hearts, I'll take care of those too. Focus on the kingdom and all of the other things I'll take care of. Lord, teach us to pray. And that's really it. And the good news is that's enough. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you this day, we come with many things on our hearts and our minds, and often so many things we don't even know where to begin to pray. We have so many things we want to do and things we want to see happen in our life that sometimes we feel even selfish about praying for those. And so, Lord, we know that you already know what's best for us, and so help us simply to pause and to pray. Not to impress you or anybody else, but simply because that's what you ask for. And so help us to find time today to pray for bread. Help us to find time today to pray for forgiveness. Help us to find time each day to pray for deliverance. And then, Lord, help us to look for ways that we can seek after your kingdom. That our prayer may not just be a one-way street, us telling you what to do, but allowing you and your kingdom to tell us the way to live that leads to life. You call us to pray, and we ask that you would help us to be people of prayer. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. As you go forth from this place, my prayer for you is that every day you'll find some time to pray for bread, to pray for forgiveness, and pray for deliverance. And whether that's one sweet hour or one sweet minute and a half, I trust in Jesus' promise that he already stands ready to answer your prayer. So go forth in that good news to love and serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.